Welcome back to another episode of Ozark and Chill. We'll be reviewing episode 8 here. As always, I am Duke, and I'm here with Frank. And to be honest, Frank, bit of a slow episode for me. Obviously, Ben plays a big part here, but wasn't really feeling it to the point where I fell asleep last night watching it. Had to rewatch it here this morning.
I did as well. Slower episode, I guess, pretty much all revolving around Ben. I think there's only one way this is ending, though, and the writing's on the wall here now.
Yeah, and we got to eat some crow here. We were way off on our death prediction, but as we see the episode end, I'm thinking the fireworks were just one episode later than we had predicted. Episode 9, I'm actually looking forward to quite a bit. We should probably start at the beginning, and we did see a death over in 7. It was poor therapist Sue. Marty goes to Sue's house, not knowing, obviously, she's dead, breaks into the home, as you do, and quickly figures out there's no one here, and maybe Sue is sleeping with the fishes.
Yeah, kind of funny. He goes through the same exact process that the handler does and goes to the computer, goes to the files, realizes that everything's canned. Somehow, just second drawer he opens, he finds her appointment book, sees Helen Pierce and then Frank Jackson, which is the dummy name, of course, that they use, and immediately realizes and wipes everything down and gets the hell out of there.
Kind of half-assed wiped it down, right? Just pulled a sleeve over his hand and then certainly didn't get everything he touched. He was touching everything in sight.
Yeah, I don't know, you know, if that's just part of the episode, part of the season for him just to realize that they killed her. But I can't imagine that that's something that comes back in by season end, at least, other than just people starting to realize that everyone around them keeps dying.
You know, and obviously Helen took care of that with her hitman there. And we see several times in this episode and throughout this season, even Marty's questioning Wendy, saying, "You said you're going to handle this. What are you doing?" Helen's asking the same questions. She took matters into her own hand here, pushed Sue off a cliff, and or I guess got shot, right? And then pushed the car off a cliff. And then later on the episode is talking to Navarro, maybe going to take things into her own hands again. Kind of interesting storyline there. But we fast forward just a little bit, see the kids doing some community service. One of the things I thought was kind of hilarious, they're so deep in this criminal mindset that Charlotte's trying to ask Wendy to go to the judge to get him out of community service. Wendy obviously bats that back just right in her face, saying we can't do that right now, but just kind of shows you where the kids' mindset is.
Yeah, they realize they have a, you know, stranglehold on everything around them. But I think it also kind of symbolizing their lack of, or their, you know, progressive loss of respect and influence in the town. And we'll see what the foundation does here at the, you know, end of this episode and then going into the next few episodes. But the foundation is almost a political influence campaign to, you know, promote their, you know, their personal agenda, as mostly all big foundations do, you know, in this world that we call politics. So it'll be interesting to see how they keep trying to leverage those involved with the foundation and how, you know, that's going to come into play probably more than, you know, their own personal influence and all that, and see how that kind of ties in with the casino business and whatever else they're trying to do.
Yeah, you know, and Helen says she's sick of cleaning up the bird's mistakes and how much she hates parties and says this really need to go well. It does not go well. But before we get there, Marty does present Agent Miller with another case. She denies him again. And once again, he says, "I'll go around you." And he does, could potentially blow up in their face as Agent Miller has a conversation with her boss. Her boss states just flat out, "You are here to uphold the law and catch people who are breaking it. You are presented a case that clearly shows this and ignored it. I want you back in DC when the warrant's up."
Yeah, finally some division sowed between Miller and the FBI. Brass in general, we were waiting for that with her and Evans. It never really came, and now we're kind of seeing it. Marty interjecting. A weird Marty-Wendy tag team situation where they haven't really collaborated on anything, and now all of a sudden here they are working together with the I'm assuming he's a state senator who takes the information from a, quote, anonymous source who, you know, Agent Miller already knows who it's from. And her boss clearly does not care. And this is maybe the angle Marty needs to keep influencing her. present her with more information that maybe she can, you know, use to her brighten her own case to stay as a field agent, as she says that she wants to do.
We do see Marty say, you know, maybe we pushed a little bit too hard here. She's being sent back. Wendy says we have to get her back, and you know, they're not so sure what the next course of action is there.
Yeah, I think it's pretty evident now at this point with Marty is that he's not trying to flip an FBI agent. Mm-hmm. He's just trying to influence her to make sure he doesn't go to jail. So in their conversation, when Marty presented that to her, he's basically trying to say, let me be a criminal, but I'll still catch the other ones for you and make you look good. I will help your career if you'll help mine, which is a classic kind of Marty deal. You know, he did it with the mob and the cartel and all these people, you know, help me help you type of situation. And, you know, it's going to look like he flipped the FBI agent, right? But he's not actually trying to flip the FBI agent. Like I said, I think he's going to try to play both angles to keep himself out of jail.
Yeah, it's a good point, Frank, because at this point, he no longer needs to prove his worth. She clearly knows what he can and can't do. So presenting a second case isn't, you know, hey, this is what I could do. It's, you know what I can do. Here it is. Yeah, let me help you, and then you help me. But she's sticking to her guns, and we'll see if she continues to do so as she gets, you know, kicked out of what she said she worked really, really hard to get. The field work will be gone in, you know, less than 30 days here. So,
and they called her position forensic accounting, which is what the position she wanted to send Marty into, which mm-hmm. is kind of interesting because, you know, she's basically making him an offer for the job that she's going to have to take unless something changes here.
And Psycho Ben is going to, you know, get revenge on behalf of his girlfriend who's laid up in the hospital. And I guess we see back to work this episode. Right back to work as Marty has her doing 1,000 things and kind of has a keen smirk as, you know, Ruth doesn't miss a beat, sharp as a tack there. But he heads to Kansas City, asks for Frank Cosgrove Jr., is told he's not available, tries to blow through the gate, and of course is met with a bunch of goons with bats. Apparently they don't have guns in Kansas City, and, you know, flips a U-turn, heads to a bar, gets a little, you know, liquored up, beats the shit out of a guy, just a random guy as far as I could tell, and is stuck in jail.
Yeah, the only thing that I kind of found interesting was the guy that was sitting at the bar with him was almost a mirror image of him, cleaned up, you know, clearly with a job and some money, and was interested in whiskey instead of, you know, cheap beer. It, you know, they presented it to almost be like his mirror image had he not, you know, gone wrong and
if he stayed on the meds.
Yeah, this is like a weird, you know, mirror image of him, and I think that's part of, you know, what sets him off.
Kind of funny too, because, you know, Helen's there once again cleaning up this mess. Ben presents it as the family lawyer and gives Helen's name. So she has to drive to Kansas City middle of the night, calls Wendy and says, your fucking idiot brother has me up here doing this. Wendy says she'll handle it. Helen's not so sure. Obviously, we don't want to go right to the end of the episode, but we see that maybe flipped 180 degrees on its head there. Wendy and Marty, again, have this conversation about what to do with Ben. Clearly, he's not in the right state of mind. And the only option as far as any logical person who's not related to Ben is to institutionalize this guy. I think Wendy finally comes around to that, but wants to do it herself.
Yeah, I guess so. You know, he made it sound like they already did this once. What did he say, 10 years ago? They had already done this before. You know, I was kind of nervous about that conversation in the office. We haven't seen many people talking in the office, and I had that kind of guess that it's bugged in some way, and maybe that's going to be a liability at some point, because, you know, Miller's just kind of hanging out in there. So I'm curious to see if that ends up being you know, bugged in some way against them, but they didn't really reveal anything in that casino office there, which was kind of a relief if you're rooting for them.
Which I think most of us are here. And then, of course, Ruth goes to pick him up out of jail as he is released. They get him out again and have a very interesting conversation in the truck ride home where, you know, Ben is still raging, still upset, and calls his sister, you know, chicken shit. Ruth immediately takes her back and says, no, no, you have this all wrong. She is not by any means, and certainly isn't held back by Marty.
Yeah, and you think that, you know, from the conversation, she was almost warning him as well, like, you better be careful, these people aren't who you think they are, type of idea is what I kind of was gathering from that, and like visibly upset. And we go on to find out that he does figure out somehow in his big brain figures out what actually happens, and shoots over to the casino.
Yeah, you can tell he doesn't really have it all put together as he presents that Wendy killed, you know, Cade, and that he killed Agent Petty. And Ruth says, well, not so much with Petty. But one of the things I missed last night as I fell asleep and saw this morning, pretty big scene where Wendy approaches the trailer park, sees Ben, and tries to buy him off to get him to leave town and says, what's your price? Clearly, Ben has had enough, says, big F you, his life is here now. And we're setting ourselves up for the rest of the episode here.
Yeah, specifically, this is my home now. As you've gathered from, you know, me talking through, what, eight or nine episodes now with you, I tend to grab onto certain lines that I think are foreshadowing, and I kind of jotted that one down in the back of my mind there.
And then we see Darlene, who, you know, comes to the fundraiser. Again, another thing I missed as I was sleeping through the episode last night. Looks like she's making nice with Ruth, right? She says Ruth's practically running the place, building some rapport. Wendy gives this big speech, and while the senator is, you know, speaking, Ben storms the place, causes an absolute scene, punches Marty in the face, and gets hauled off by security.
Yeah, Ruth, or not Ruth, sorry, Darlene making a play on Ruth, it seems. Mm-hmm. We talked about before, you know, these cult-like leaders tend to prey on the broken, you know, people, and she's very much broken. If you compare her to Three, who seems to be getting his life in order as well as someone can in his situation, Ruth did and is now unraveling, is in a lot of pain physically, mentally, all around. And, you know, Darlene offering her some reprieve and potentially, you know, affecting her mindset as these cult leaders tend to do with these broken people.
By the way, not for nothing, remember how much damage was on Wendy's face from that slap punch from Darlene? Not a scratch on Marty in this episode.
Yeah.
I don't know if you picked up on that. As they're standing in Sheriff Nick's office, he's just clean shaven, looking fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. And how they portray it in general with like Ruth being absolutely destroyed, you know, an episode ago and not able to walk. And now she's just like out and about and good to go, which what I could gather was only a few days later, if that. Yeah, so kind of an interesting way to put together a storyline. I've never broken multiple ribs or had internal bleeding, but I can't imagine that you'd be okay within a month.
As someone who bruised ribs pretty badly, no, it was I was laid up for several weeks, and that was a bruise, not a break. So, hey, but the story must go on, and as we see, you know, Ben says Wendy promised. So anyway, he goes to jail, right? Obviously, he's punched Marty in the face. We all see this. And big moment here where, you know, Wyatt is talking to Ruth and says maybe Darlene can help. Darlene heads to Sheriff Nix's office and works out a deal to get Ben released from prison for the second time in one episode in exchange for the cops not distributing her heroin anymore. She accepts the deal and Ben is getting out.
Yeah, it's fascinating to see you know, the levers that these people are pulling with such ease in this, you know, one little town. Kind of interesting thing there. They don't, you know, they don't show much in between, just him running to the car, of course. But, you know, Darlene's influence again, over top of people collecting intel and using Wyatt as a recruiter here is kind of, it's working in ways she probably didn't think. It's certainly in ways I didn't think. I thought that this was going to end in a Ruth Darlene showdown over Wyatt, and it turns out they're working together more than apart.
And we're setting up for kind of a melee here of all three major parties going at each other here at some point with everyone's hand in the cookie jar. And by the way, while all this is going on, Helen Pierce calls Navarro and says, I have serious doubts about the birds.
Yeah, like now?
Which piece of this was it?
Yeah. Like, this is what you're worried about, the bipolar brother all of a sudden. You know, and we do see Ben get out, of course, and then immediately go over there, and after this all happens, we talked about in the last episode, I, you know, after Sue had died, I had talked about how she was a loose end, and the only other real loose end that doesn't have interest in this money or, you know, in the overall scheme, because, you know, Darlene certainly does. She makes that clear in this episode. You know, the kids obviously do. You're not going to kill someone's kids. At least you wouldn't think so. But is Ben, right? So you're seeing Ben, he is the one loose end that's left. And I think it's undoubtable now what's going to happen. You know, he runs over to the house, screams everything in front of Aaron. That wasn't what I anticipated happening. Of course, I thought Charlotte was going to tell Aaron to protect her. But we do remember the quote to Charlotte that Helen had said, that if whoever tells Aaron what happens, if someone does tell them, that there will be consequences for that person.
Ooh, I forgot about that. But yes, we see with that icy stare from Helen as the show or the episode ends, as Ben is leaving and he spilled his entire guts. By the way, that was, we've talked about this guy's acting almost every single episode since he's been involved.
Yeah.
He looked like he had some bad intentions heading to that cab, you know, as he got out of jail for the third time or whatever it is this episode. But I really thought we were going to see some serious fireworks there, and not just verbal, physical. I thought Helen and Aaron were going down and Ben was going to be the culprit.
Yeah. And I don't know, you know, I mentioned this with Ruth and with the lawyers, like if you're this person, I guess she's sitting there with her daughter, but like, how do you not have a gun on you or nearby, like at all times? Like, this whole situation seems crazy to me, to not have guns on you in a state like Missouri. It's just like kind of crazy. And yes, I did say Missouri because I heard Wendy say it in this episode, and I thought that was a little bit of local fanfare, because that's everyone in the world calls it Missouri, and then people from Missouri call it Missouri, so I'm going to call it Missouri.
Are you a Louisville or a Louisville kind of guy?
Louisville,
yeah, attaboy.
There's Knoxville as well.
Oh, Jesus. I did have a note about the way, you know, Wendy said Missouri, like she's some local, but, you know, hey, it is what it is. So, predictions for episode 9. We have just 2 episodes left, and if we're going to see it, we got to see some killing here soon. I had over 1.5 deaths for this episode, I think, and we had
so did I.
Zero.
So,
you know, with clearly set up, there's no way that Ben makes it out of the next episode, right?
I don't see it. Typically in these seasons, you know, the next to last episode is the biggest fireworks ones. I don't know how much Game of Thrones you watch, but that's always the biggest one. You know, in other series, you see the same thing. Episode 9, if there's typically 10, right? So episode 9 tends to be the one with all the fireworks. So I think we could see a lot here. I will say it's obviously not a big prediction, but I think Ben is dead. I've been saying that for a long time now, that he's not making it through the end of the season. The reason, you know, I'll combine all 3 things here. The game over sign that we saw on the arcade game when Wendy mentions Ben, I think was the first kind of foreshadow of this. Obviously, his erratic behavior isn't helping this, but we heard him say in this episode, this place is my home now. And I heard Darlene say in this episode, when talking to Ruth as she's walking in the fundraiser, I like some local blood in my casino, which sounded to me like some blood's going to spill inside that casino. And I think the line from Ben of "this is my home now" alludes to maybe he's considered local blood now. Or we could see somebody else from or in that area with some blood spilled in that casino.
And I should clarify, you jog my memory there, Frank. As he was getting out of the last facility, it was actually the Mendel Institution. And that was a big story. You know, Wendy had promised not to ever put me here again. I actually had to fast forward through him screaming no 700 times the second time around. We got the point. But clearly, he's a liability. I'm with you. I think he's dead. I wouldn't be surprised if we see Wyatt go. In this episode, you know, I think we're going to lose some blood on each side of this. I've been on the Helen Pierce is dead train for far too long, especially considering she's still alive. I'm not sure she goes in this episode. I think she might actually make it through the season, believe it or not. I don't see Marty, Wendy.
I'm still leaning towards her dying. I don't know why. I feel like that's going to happen somewhere.
We just need, so essentially I'm thinking Ben's dead. It's likely going to come from the cartel. Wendy's going to take offense to this. She's already butted heads with Navarro how many times. Marty's going to try to step in and say, are you crazy? Wendy's going to say, it's my brother. And then all of a sudden, who knows, maybe we get the Kansas City mob back involved and they choose side. We have extreme fireworks coming. And like Frank said, it's usually that second to last episode, which is coming up next. Anything else you want to say before we get out of here, Frank?
No, I think that's it. I'm like, we've waited for all season for a bunch of people to die, and the trailer was explosive, and we figured a lot of people would die, and we just haven't really seen it yet. So I keep saying it's the next episode, and I'm going to say it again. I think it's the next episode, and eventually we're, you know, after this one, we're only going to be able to say it one more time. So I think some buddies are going to have to die somewhere along the way in these next two.
And look, as soon as I hit stop on this recording, we're going to watch episode 9. If I fall asleep in episode 9, Frank, we're ending the series.
Yeah, well, it's 5:30 p.m., so I think we better make it, I hope.
All right, guys. We'll see you back here for episode 9 review. See you later.